I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Something that I saw, just in passing, I haven't even really read up on it, is the fact that we looked at the list of who's going to be speaking at the DNC convention, and AOC got, I think she was on day two, isn't she? Do you remember?
I believe she is on day two, yeah.
And I thought, wow, she really negotiated for that. Well, it turns out that she's getting 60 whole seconds of time to speak. If that isn't the most, you want to speak here, fit it in a minute. You've got nothing more to say than what you can say here in an actual minute. Well, leave it to Senator Kennedy.
Kamala is my colleague, so I want to congratulate her. I think she is, she's very personable. She's very smart. She's very aggressive. And she's very liberal. I think of Kamala, I would describe her as Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez, but smarter and without the bartending experience.
Brutal.
Is he trying to compliment her or not?
The thing about Senator Kennedy is every single time he's talking, I'm like, man, where is he going with this? And then I'm always like, oh, right there. There it is. Nailed it. He's savage with the way he speaks. And he always, you know, it feels like there's always a bless your heart at the end of what he's saying. He's pointed and he has his wits about him. So I found that amusing. And that's because I have no soul. I don't know. Kamala is very progressive. It seems as though there is a conversation right now about whether she's moderate or not. The New York Times thinks she's moderate. What does that tell you? Seriously. Well, I'm looking at some headlines here, shifting gears a little bit. We are going to speak with Kevin Wheeler and get the sports update at 2:25 with the St. Louis Cardinals. But college athletes are watching as conference after conference is closing down sports for the fall. And I wanted to ask Tyrus about that, and he joins us right now.
You're becoming like my most stable relationship.
Enough said.
Tyrus is host of Nuff Said on Fox Nation. Go be a subscriber at foxnation.com. He's also a Fox News contributor, and he's here with us every Thursday. Tyrus, thanks for the time today. It's good to talk to you again.
Hey, what's going on? How are you guys?
We're doing okay. I would like to watch sports. The St. Louis Cardinals have been a dumpster fire so far, and we're waiting to watch baseball here. The Blues not really doing it as of late, and it looks like college football, among the rest of the fall sports, may not happen at all. I was just curious about your thoughts on how different sports are handling COVID. From what I hear, the NBA's bubble is working out very well for them. Other people, not so much. You want to give out any grades on who's doing well and who should have been doing it better?
Well, I'm not going to do that because that would mean I have all the answers. I know that's weird. Not criticize somebody without actually having wisdom or whatever. I think obviously I'm in favor of the bubble in terms of to protect everybody and the testing if it's able to do so. With college, I just don't see how you can put the kids in a bubble, you know, with classes. And it just seems like it's a huge on-taking with young people, and then you got to enforce it. And typically young people make worse decisions than grown people. We're seeing sometimes in the NBA that guys are making the same childish decisions as adults. So I kind of, as much as I hate it, I kind of see, I'm understanding of possibly as canceling college football or college sports this year because of the fear of outbreak, because it's just not, I just don't see, other than a bubble situation, mm-hmm. how you protect the kids basically from themselves. I hate saying that. I mean, of course, for some guys, I mean, that's a horrible financial decision. It hurts their draft status. It hurts their opportunity to even be drafted in some cases. You know, you got a guy who hasn't really developed yet, and all of a sudden his senior year, he has an amazing year, and then, you know, no one's going to know about it. So yeah, that aspect of it sucks, but when I think about with the way things are going, I'm kind of more in favor of the postponement till spring. Give it a little bit of time. See if we can keep getting these numbers to go down. See if we can flatten it out, you know.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious what you think about the student athlete. I'm reading this headline here from the USA Today. It says college athletes' bill of rights unveiled by U.S. senators seeking to change the NCAA systems. It's Cory Booker and Blumenthal. Without getting into the details of that, it's obvious how much of an industry and a business and how much money is tied up specifically in college football, but sports in general. Do you think that? I don't know what your opinion is on college athletes and whether or not they should be able to get paid for their work there, but do you think this may have an impact on that relationship between the money that's involved in these sports and what the student athletes get out of it?
I think that every American and every young athlete who's playing in college should be able to make money off their name and likeness. You know, if you selling jerseys with Tyrus on the back of it, I should get a piece of it. It's my name. I don't think the college football should, or sports should, make all that money off the players and they get nothing for it. And for a lot of players, the majority of players, college is as far as they're going to go. So it's not like, oh, well, they're going to make plenty of money in the NFL. That percentage is small enough. But there are guys who had tremendous college careers, or they're, you know, or they're the town favorite, your favorite lineman, everyone has his jersey. He should be compensated for that. He should be allowed to sign autographs for money. He should, just like any other athlete, they should be able to cash in on that while they're able to. As far as getting paid by the hour or like a salary to play college football, no, I still think you can give a free education for that. Still think that should cover, that covers that. But as far as likeness goes, 100%. I mean, hell, I might call UNK and be like, let me get 278 to throw a Tyrus on the back of it and see what happens. You know? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that needs to be something that is there for all athletes, you know, in every division, 3, 5, 7, all those kids. If they can make a few dollars on their last name, all good, man. And then all of a sudden, economic class, economy, sports management classes, now they matter. So I'm going to pay attention now in economy because I got a business to run. You know, on the weekends, I'm signing autographs, you know. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, Tyra, since we're talking about school, you know, in college in general, it seems to me like we're in a watershed moment in this country for college specifically. I mean, education is all over the board right now. But I was talking to a friend today whose daughter is going into college for the first time. And he said he's moving her into the dorms, but that none of her classes are happening. So she's moving into dorms to do all remote learning from the dorms at the college she's at. So it's just, are we doing college right? Do you think it's going to change after 2020?
I mean, I think the real question is he must have wanted his daughter out the house really bad.
I'll ask that later.
It's a pricey commitment.
No, Dad, I could just do this at home. No. You need to be in the dorm. Me and your mom, the naked romper.
Quarantine's really starting to show its real colors here.
Yeah, you know, like, no, I think you should sit in your room alone with one window and work online. at least my dorm had one window. Maybe they've changed. But it sucks for the kids because college, the whole college experience, obviously, during these times is augmented and changed in online learning. But, again, my concern would be how do I protect my daughter from basically putting her into a situation with more young kids with hormones and bad decision-making skills without parents there. Me personally, if my kid was learning online, I would prefer to have them at home where we can help them, protect them, quarantine them. You know, I can regulate who's coming in my house, you know. Mm-hmm. But that's again, that's a I've said it over and over again. It's not a political thing. It's a parent thing. And if that's what her dad feels, that she can be safe and he thinks she'll make those right decisions, then more power, because she's still, you know, still something cool to being in your dorm room. It's your first independence. And, you know, you got your microwave and your tiny refrigerator and your ridiculously small TV. But it's yours, you know.
Yeah, so, but it's yours.
Yeah, I get it. If that's what her dad feels best, who am I to tell him what's best for his daughter? You know, would I do it for mine? I don't know.
I've been digging and digging and digging to try to talk about something other than Biden and Kamala Harris and Trump and Pence. I guess we've got to throw Pence in there now.
You know what?
I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about the Kamala Harris VP pick.
What I'm going to say is probably going to shock a lot of people, but I am tremendously disheartened and angry at the way it was done. I feel like it was just as racist as if, like, here's the deal. The racist section of the right, the 2% of the idiots who feel that way, always get the headlines. They're always the one that, when you think of racism, you think of a guy with a Confederate flag screaming he hates darkies, right? That's always what we consider racism. I have always been a big component of arguing about that polite racism, which is so systemic on the extreme left, that they like to convince the black community and Hispanic community they can't do anything without them helping them. Look at all we do for you. When Joe Biden came out and said, and this is for women too, that my VP pick will be a woman, you just diminished the accomplishments of the, and I feel Kamala was the best VP out of that bunch. We didn't need to hear that it was going to be a woman or it was going to be a woman of color. There was no reason for that. It's a polite racism because look what we did for you. You know, now when she's in, well, you know, if it was for us, she wouldn't even be here because he would have picked somebody else. Could you imagine the Annie Frey show? You're in a meeting. Hey, guys, how can we get numbers up? I don't know. Hey, what if we brought a black guy on the show? Yeah, let's get a man of color so on Thursdays for about 6 or 7 minutes to talk about stuff. Yeah, that's a good idea. And that got out.
Yeah.
Tyra was on the Annie Frey show because Annie Frey needed a black guy. How would that go over?
Well, it'd be embarrassing for me, for sure, because then it's
probably lose the job.
Yeah. Yeah. I find it to be incredibly ridiculous the way they went about it.
It's disgusting. And here's the deal. The opinion shows, they are all, when you hear a lot of these opinions, these left, especially on, like, on CNN, and I am calling them out on this, and MSNBC, they are applauding themselves for getting this historic moment. No, you tainted it.
Yeah,
by making the thing. And get me wrong, Ms. Harris, 100%. I thought it was between her and somebody else for who was going to be the top VP candidate, and she deserves it. But it is the smudge, and it is forever giving a talking point to strong people that it had to be a woman of color. Not that there's moments in this country when Muhammad Ali was selected with Parkinson's to represent the country at the Olympics and put that torch on there. That was a tremendous moment, and he just happened to be black, but he was picked by America to represent America. They didn't say, hey, we need a black guy. We need a man of color to do the torch. Michael Jordan became literally on everybody's chest and shoe. It wasn't Nike said, you know what, we really need a black athlete to try to market. You know, Barack Obama became president. It wasn't, hey, we really need a black president. Think about what that does to people's mindsets when they look at things. She's there because she earned it. But unfortunately, mainstream media, who are so quick to go after people for saying something dumb 10 years ago, will literally tell somebody, your accomplishments are because of us. You need us. You people can't do anything unless we help you. That, to me, is the racism that drives me crazy. I would rather be around someone who means what they say, mm-hmm. doesn't like me for the color of my skin, than someone who smiles at me and is nothing but a devil behind my back. And that's what this feels like to me.
Do you think you're in the minority of folks who see it that way, or do you think that a lot of people feel like it was very pandering?
No, I think there's a lot of people that felt that way, but they're not talking about it.
Okay. Yeah.
Because the left's not going to attack the left, and if someone like you says it's racism, they're going to try to find something on you to that says it is. You know, if Tucker Carlson brings it up, they're going to be like, oh, he's just going after, he's just trying to diminish her. You know, that's their narrow, that's their talking point, opposed to that's a real, that's, you know, that's a thing. And I hate the fact that that will always be, well, Joe Biden said he would have a woman of color and they picked this one. You know, it's just everything about that disgusts me, because it's not fair to her. It's not fair to women everywhere, women of color, women purely, or anyone else who dreams of being a VP or a president and being told, you know, or have that narrative out there. Well, you know, there probably was a better man for the job, but, you know, we had to get a woman of color in there. I mean, that just, how does not anyone else see that as it's not pandering, it's not cheap, it's blatant racism, and they get a pass because they do it with a smile on their face.
Well, I guess that's why you host a show called Nuff Said on Fox Nation, because I completely agree with that, and we appreciate you for sharing that here on our show. Thank you so much, Tyrus. Always good to talk to you. I want to encourage people to subscribe to Fox Nation and watch your show Nuff Said, and we'll catch you on Fox News whenever we see your face there. We're always excited to watch what you have to say, and we're always grateful to have it here as well.
And thank you so much for allowing me that platform to say that, and I'm also very pleased that your precious Blues aren't doing so well. So
We had a rough season. The last season that we played in, the first half was really rough. The second half, on the other hand, ended quite
I don't
well.
Remember. I really don't remember. I don't.
All the beers?
Sure.
Okay.
No, the beers. All the crying in my pillow.
All right. Well, we won't talk about baseball here either, that's for sure. Tyrus, thanks for coming on again. We look forward to talking to you each week.
All right. Thank you.
Yep, absolutely. At Planet Tyrus on Twitter for more of those pensive thoughts. And, of course, we always see him on Fox News as a Fox News contributor and host of Nuff Said. I really value his thoughts and opinions. I never know what he's going to say about anything before he says it. Ryan, I know that we have guests. I know I'm way late. Sorry, Katie. We have a lot of guests who when we bring them on, we know where this is going. We know what questions to ask, and we know kind of what I don't know what Tyrus is going to say before I ask my question.
Yeah, when he says, look, I know that this is going to be a controversial statement, I have no idea which angle he's coming at.
Yeah.
It could be controversial to us in the room, or it could be controversial to liberal side of the aisle. I have no idea.
Which is why we like having him on here, and we like the thoughts. All right, quick break, and we come back. 314-241-9797 if you'd like to weigh in on the issues that we've been talking about. College sports being probably done for the fall, and also that pick, listening to what Tyrus said there, did the Democratic Party undercut the nomination of Kamala Harris? As Tyrus said, she earned it, but it doesn't feel like that. We'll take your phone calls in a minute. Don't go anywhere.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
I just have to tell you, I like the matchup. It, you know, it's on, Sean. I can't wait to get back out there.
That's weird. It's weird. Mike Pence, it's on. Shucks. You know, like, I don't know. Donald Trump can say it's on, and you know it's going to be on, and everyone's going to get uncomfortable and bent out of shape. But they were already uncomfortable and bent out of shape. Maybe one day we'll accidentally bend ourselves out of shape back into shape. Like, it will be kind of a meta where you started all the way around, now you finished where you began. We're speaking with Tyrus before, and he was talking about how Kamala Harris earned the right to be, she earned the spot to be a vice presidential candidate. She'd put in the work, she put in the time, You know, he didn't say at all whether or not he would support her. He said nothing about her merits as a politician based on his preference for policy, but just that she had earned it. But how unfortunate it was that Joe Biden and the Biden campaign, if those are one and the same, or if the Biden campaign is really running it, I know a lot of people have speculation on that, really did her or any person who was going to fill that spot a disservice, because they qualified who was going to be able to be there. You know, like I've said this on the show many times, if you were to say, Annie, congratulations, you're the best person for the job, I'd say, oh, it's the best person for the job. I got the job. That's fantastic. Did you interview a lot of people? Well, we only interviewed women. I'd be like, you mean I'm the best woman for the job? I'm not the best. So I guess Joe Biden is more interested in the identity politics of picking a woman, specifically a woman of color, than he is on just finding the best people and qualifying it down to the best person, not woman, not man, not white person, not person of color. It is more important to Joe Biden to appease the identity politics culture that exists right now than it is to give the American people the best person for the job. Now, maybe he thinks that Kamala Harris is the best person for the job, but he eliminated the possibility that any man could be considered for it when he announced that. To Tyrus's point, I think it was a brilliant statement. Jason's holding on the line here. If you'd like to give us a call and weigh in, 314-241-9797. Jason, thanks for calling.
Hi, Annie. Of course, like I said, our politics are always on the opposite side of the spectrum. I don't understand why it's a big deal. If Joe Biden wanted to pick Ms. Harris, let him pick Ms. Harris. The funny thing is this has been an ordeal now for 2 days. Republicans have went completely nuts. And what's going to be the highlight of all of this is when you see Ms. Harris and you see Pence on the VP stage and she makes him cry just like she made Kavanaugh cry. That is going to be the highlight of my night, because she's going to wipe the floor with him. And that's exactly what I have to say about that.
Jason, thanks for calling the show. I mean, there's really not anything that I would make that a campaign ad for Trump Pence. I appreciate it though, Jason.
Thank you for reminding
all of the women out there right now who watched the Kavanaugh hearing and saw their husbands and their sons and their fathers in the seat where Kavanaugh sat, and personalized that for them. That's a good reminder. I think it's very important. I will also disagree, Jason. It's going to be one debate out of four total debates, and nobody's going to remember it because nobody ever remembers the vice presidential debates. And I mean, what is the action figure that Mike Pence looks like? I know this is incredibly relevant to the election, but in 2020, why wouldn't it be? Doesn't he look like one of those action figures?
Yes.
Somebody out there knows what I'm talking about. Comment and save me here. But I mean, he kind of looks like G.I. Joe or something like that. He looks like a conveyor belt politician. He just mechanically moves in ways that makes you feel like you see him, you're like, he looks like he's in charge of something Republican. He just does. That's why Trump picked him. First of all, he's from the Midwest. And second of all, he is a conservative's conservative. He's like, when you're detailing what you want in a conservative politician, you're putting this all down, you do the equation, you complete the math, you carry the one, you're like, oh, the answer is Mike Pence. Got it. There he is in Indiana. Let's use him. If you're Donald Trump, seems like a pretty brilliant choice to me, because when you impeach Donald Trump, and if the Senate ends up convicting him and you remove him from office, you're like, do you remember when they impeached him? And on Twitter, it was trending like, holy crap, who's this Mike Pence guy? Like, they hadn't even looked that far. So it doesn't, I mean, Mike Pence will not go back to the story that put Pete Buttigieg on the map. Pete Buttigieg picked a fight with Mike Pence, and Mike Pence, I remember he was in like a Central America country or something like that, maybe Puerto Rico. I don't know. I'll have to go back and look it up. But he was out trying to survey some damage, I think, in some country. And it's like, sir, it seems as though there is a Pete Buttigieg who is picking a fight with you, says you hate gays. And he's like, what? Who? Pete? Pete and I worked together in Indiana all the time. When Mike Pence was the governor and Pete Buttigieg was the mayor of South Bend, they used to work together well, but Pete Buttigieg needed a platform. He needed a stage and he needed a spotlight. And he decided he was going to try to make Mike Pence shine on it. And Mike Pence was like, I have no problems with Pete Buttigieg. I think he's a fantastic person, and we've worked together well. And that was the end of it. He did not take the bait. Pete Buttigieg should have picked on Donald Trump. Donald Trump would have taken the bait. Pete Buttigieg picked on Mike Pence, and because in Mike Pence's instruction manual that comes in the Mike Pence conservative Republican box that you get when you order a Mike Pence, he didn't take the bait. He was too smart to do that. So here's what's going to happen. Kamala Harris is going to throw punches because she needs to make headlines, because Joe Biden's debate against Donald Trump, each one of them is going to be the highlight of this election season. You're going to think that you've seen it all, and you're going to be like, oh my gosh, that was just the first one. Wait, there's more. For, you know, 3 years of easy payments of trillions and trillions of dollars, you too can have a Joe Biden presidency. You're going to see the Kamala Harris, Mike Pence debate, but it's not going to have the fireworks, because Pence's job is going to be to make no headlines. Yes. Out of the vice president. His job is going to be the opposite of what Trump's job is going to do. Yeah. And just like Trump in the debate with Hillary Clinton, where she's saying, like, I'm going to do this. And he's like, you're going to be in jail. Who says that? Oh, Donald Trump. And then America votes for him. And then he's been the president and is everybody's president still here in 2020. In spite of an impeachment, in spite of a Russia investigation, in spite of a dossier that was a bunch of bologna sausage, he's still the president. We get to decide again in November. But there is no possible way, Jason, that it is going to be the highlight of the election season to watch Kamala and Pence debate each other. I will tell you this. It might be the therapy that the Democrats need after watching Trump be Trump, and maybe even the therapy that the Republicans who can't really stand Trump but don't want to vote for socialism in Biden and Harris, you're going to go to there and it's going to feel a little bit more normal. But Harris is there to make headlines. Pence is there not to make headlines. It's going to be a wash. Trump is going to say crazy things. Biden's going to be Joe Biden. Oh, by the way, if you're on the webcam, I got this today. Anytime I talk about Joe Biden, I'm going to do this.
Oh, nice aviators. Nice.
You like that?
Yeah, you look exactly like Joe Biden.
You've transformed.
Is that Joe Biden or is that Annie Fry?
We got Joe Biden on the show. You should interview me. You should be me and interview me, and I will answer like I'm Joe Biden.
Okay.
where do we begin?
Well, okay. First things first, I'm Annie Fry. That's how you start interviews.
That's naturally how.
Hello, I'm Annie Fry on Annie Fry Show, and we have Joe Biden, presidential candidate for America, and he is in studio, sort of. He's wearing his sunglasses, and my first question for you, since I am Annie Fry, is why did you pick Kamala Harris for vice president?
What? Come
You're
on, man.
Lying.
Yeah, You're that's lying all you have to do. Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Come okay. on, man.
I'm sorry about that question.
I think I nailed it. you got to see it. You got to see the visual here, because I think Ryan's right for once. I look just like Joe Biden.
Yeah.
You're a lying dog-faced pony soldier.
There you go. That was Annie.
Do that one more time.
Ryan, ask the question.
Why'd you pick Kamala Harris?
You're a lying dog-faced pony soldier.
There you go.
I just asked a question. I didn't make a statement at all.
All right. I'll stay Joe Biden through this next commercial break. When we come back, we're going to speak with Jim Cruda, who's fighting the man or not. He just wants to know, how do I run my business? Cruda Bakery. If you have never had a Cruda Bakery item, oh my gosh, they'll take you to another place. They're so delicious. He's trying to run a business, and he's trying to figure out how to do it. And he's going to talk to us about that when we come back. Don't go anywhere. Follow us on Facebook and watch live and say hi to Joe Biden. Tell me if you're voting for me. I need to know, you lying dog-faced pony soldier. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thanks for joining us. Happy to be with you today, and thanks for choosing us to spend some time. We are very grateful for it. If you are not aware, J.B. Pritzker, the governor of Illinois, has, this is according to Illinois policy, turned to criminal penalties in order to gain compliance with his coronavirus mandates, targeting business owners when customers and staff fail to wear masks. Not just staff, not the people who are in charge. You know, if you own a business, you can set parameters for what your employees do. So that's your staff, obviously. But also your customers. He's putting this on the back of business owners. Well, Jim Kruta is an owner of a business, the famous Kruta Bakery in Collinsville, Illinois. Very, very well-known and amazingly delicious bakery. Jim, thank you for coming on here. We appreciate you giving us some time to talk about being a small business owner in the state of Illinois right now.
Well, thanks for having me on, Annie.
For sure. I want to ask you a little bit about, you know, you were researching this because it's you have a stake in this based on how you manage this. What in your research here, what's the governor said that has now been made into your responsibility?
Well, looking at the coverage of the order, if a customer is not wearing a mask, and as you said, staff, it's the business owner's responsibility to, I guess, refuse them entry onto the property or refuse to sell them a product or service. If they do not, they get a written warning. If they do not a second time, they get another written warning. And then after that, it's criminal fines of $75 up to $2,500 per infraction.
So what kind of position does that put you in as a business owner? Because I remember when all these first mandates came out, and we were told we had to wear masks. We were told that, you know, we had to social distance and all this. I remember asking the question, like, who's supposed to reinforce this? And I was talking to local law enforcement, and they're like, we don't really have the authority to reinforce this. And law enforcement was concerned about, you know, working with the community to police. You have to have a good relationship with the community. Now it's going to put them on the other side. They're going to be the bad guy in being the mask police instead of the, you know, municipal police. As a business owner, this puts you directly in opposition to your customer, I would think. If somebody comes in, wants to buy a dozen donuts from Kruta Bakery, and they're not wearing a mask, what is it your responsibility to force them to or leave?
Yeah, it's an interesting position to be in because we're not punishing the people that are not abiding by the mandate. We're punishing somebody else entirely who's supposed to be enforcing the mandate that doesn't actually have much standing to do so other than the whim of the governor. Mm-hmm. It's not even a law at this point. It's simply a rule. We're not being led by leaders. We're being ruled by a ruler. I mean, the word rule right there in and of itself is what was used in many of the articles. This is just the governor's rule that business owner is now responsible for exercising his authority, I guess. It's a bizarre situation, be sure. As I was commenting to you and a few other people, as a business owner, we're told who we must serve. And, you know, there have been famous lawsuits about discriminating against people. And now we're being told that we must discriminate against certain people. So it's, you know, we're getting mixed messages. It's just not a happy position for most business owners to be in.
Jim Kruta of Kruta Bakery on the phone with us. Jim, I'm looking at the rules here, and these financial consequences to business owners seem very specifically targeted to where it would be harder for you and more expensive for you to fight them than it would be to just comply. Do you feel that?
Oh yeah, that's fairly standard with most of the regulations against businesses, not just in Illinois, but nationwide. It's the idea is they don't want you to fight it. They just want you to comply.
So, I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot with, I don't want to put a spotlight on you and cause any extra trouble for you. And we're grateful that you came on here. And I would encourage anybody who's listening that's anywhere within driving distance of Kruta Bakery in Collinsville to support Kruta Bakery and your other local small businesses, because this is kind of a weird time to be alive. But are you finding that the mask issue is something that a lot of your customers, you know, has it been an issue up until now? Or is this going to take a scenario that you, somebody who gets up super early in the morning to provide delicious baked goods to the people of your community, Like, it's going to have to change your entire focus on what you do, why you go to work. And I would say the stakes are probably pretty high based on your ability to enforce this and potentially run off some of your customers. If they don't like it, it's not your rule. It's, as you said, the governor's.
Right. Fortunately, most people are fairly understanding. You've seen famous stories nationwide, I'm sure, about conflict between people enforcing a mask mandate and those that don't want to. For us personally, I hope and pray it won't really impact us. We haven't had much cause to get into arguments with customers. But I just wonder, for some small businesses, do they now necessarily need to have someone policing the door? Do you need to have somebody whose sole job it is, and things are tight as it is for small businesses after being railroaded by the governor, do we have to hire somebody or move somebody from a critical position to be the doorman? Or what happens if a customer takes their mask off after they get in and refuses to put it on? Well, now we're kind of stuck. Do we call the police? Do we, you know, in order to fulfill the governor's whims, do we now need to physically remove them from the premises? Do we simply not serve them? I mean, it, you know, again, for us personally, I don't see a lot of issue, but I know there will be for other small businesses. It's just, what a horrible position to put people that are already under so much strain. You know, you're putting them in an even worse situation. And it's just, why? What's the end goal here? To get a handful more people on board? It just doesn't seem like it's worth it to me to cause that much more strain. Everybody, not just business owners, everybody's at the breaking point. And now you're pitting them against each other in one more way. And it just seems, for lack of a better word, it just seems really petty for the governor to basically say, this is my decree. And not only is it my decree, but now you, the citizen, is going to have to turn on your other fellow citizens to enact this decree. It's just small-minded.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, and I want to make sure that people know that they need to continue to support those local businesses, including Cruda Bakery. I know that my family loves supporting your business for sure. This stuff is fantastic. And we found out earlier in the show that Ryan picked his house, so it would be in close proximity to your bakery.
Well, we appreciate that.
Yeah. We appreciate you. Jim Cruda, thank you so much for the time today. We wish you well.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I am so annoyed. I am so incredibly annoyed by these rules. And, you know, they put it through that JCAR committee. That's the committee that we all called back in the day, and they backed off of it. They slipped it in earlier this week, and the vote went 6-6 on a 12-person committee. It went 6-6, and a tie goes to the winner, just like at first base,
which is not actually a rule. Yeah, it's this slow burn stuff. We're not going to do it publicly, but we'll just wait. We'll wait till the fur dies down, and then we'll slip it in. And it's more and more stuff that, even if they don't enforce it all the way, they're just slipping more stuff in.
I got to say, I still haven't gotten my email back, but I did get a phone call this morning saying that I would get a reply. They wanted my email address, which I did provide yesterday, but I don't think she heard it. So still waiting to hear back on whether or not my local representatives here in the 112th District, is your state representative going to support Mike Madigan for speaker? Have you asked him yet? If you get an answer, please let me know. I'm struggling on getting that answer here myself. We're going to take a quick break. In the 2 o'clock hour, we're going to talk to Kevin Wheeler about the St. Louis Cardinals season. Maybe he can fix the St. Louis Blues season. I don't know if he's that powerful. We'll be back in a minute.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.